brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m. Like you really have something better to do at 2 a.m.?
That NPR channel just blows up at 2.
Really? Do you love the, like, crafting, knitting conversation?
Oh, man, it's like world music.
It's like
trance.
Like, time, like, 200 best albums.
It was my favorite part about going to sleep as a kid, because I'd wake up and turn it on.
Remember when it would be like the Braille edition of Jeopardy? The test line things, and it would be the American anthem.
I'll take fast bumps for 400.
It would turn off at the end of the night. No one remembers that. No. It was the American anthems,
I think you're dating yourself.
The test lines would go on, and there was no 24 hours.
Was in the 50s.
I'm your host of this this cat herd. This is good old boy Mike. Joining me at this table is good old gal Juliana.
Hey, everyone.
And good old gal Carrie Ann.
Evidently old, because I remember the test strips.
Possibly.
pH test strips?
Good old boy Barger is joining
us. Hey, girls.
Yes. He's taking on the most expendable crew member role in this discussion. And good old boy Drew.
Who? What? Where am I?
That's pretty much exactly who you should be. What's going on? Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee. Here's what we're actually going to discuss on this segment. Whiskey. That is finished in a honey cask. Is that how we would do that? Well, what is that, you may ask? And we're going to cover some background and what type of product this, not new, and it's novel, but it's become very popular with some recent changes in the production technique. Some of us have actually stood in lines for hours.
Yes.
Some of us laughed at those people.
Some of us wised up before they got
lucky. Some of us got to know people. Some of us just got, laid out. Had to lay out on the cash for this, but it actually happens. Juliana has the lineup of the products we're going to go through in this discussion.
Okay. So here are the products that we're going to discuss today. First, we got the Davidson Reserve. Actually, two different batches. We have the Nashville Barrel Company, batch one. We have the Nulu. We have the Wheeler's Raid. We have the Wild Turkey American Honey.
Doesn't count.
Rabble, 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 rabble.
We have the Starlight. We have the Smooth Ambler, WH Nashville. We have the Jack Daniel's Honey. We have the Good Times. Doesn't
count. Rabble, rabble, rabble.
Shouldn't count.
We have the Good Times Estate Ryconic, and we have the Bellmead Honey Cask.
That was Good Times and the King's Family Estate Ryconic and the Bellmead Honey Cask. So
that's what she said.
A very interesting lineup that we have of all these products in this interesting, very blind tasting. Drew?
So what we have done is assemble all 12 of these whiskeys, because there were two Davidson Reserves, if you were paying attention, into a blind tasting. They were put into bottles, numbered 1 through 12, and distributed to
all of us.
All of us unsuspecting folks.
Where's the water?
So we tasted all 12.
We did.
Some of us later than others.
Yeah.
Do I get a merit badge?
Yeah. Some of us finished them all. Some of this. Not so much.
Well, I finished them all. Half of them went in the trash.
And in that 12, we ranked them all ourselves. And then we got together, built aggregates, and our top five. So in this episode, we're going to cover the collective top five and then maybe also the bottom five. Or maybe just the bottom.
Not kings.
But anywho.
So we actually talked about it in advance of who would actually be able to carry off discussing our SIPs ratings with the best Winnie the Pooh accent, and Barger won the contest. So take it away,
Barger. I drew the short straw.
God love you. No one else entered the contest.
Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth, Piglet.
Gunga Bean, water.
Gunga Bean,
bring water.
Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
It's too much Christopher Robin for me.
Three. Interesting. What was this again?
Sounds like a muscly arm paperboy to me.
Four. Let's keep the secret to ourselves and pour me another.
I think it's actually somebody on the edge that just,
five?
You know.
Oh, my bother. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yes. I don't know if that sound effect is like appropriate for Winnie the Pooh.
Barker. Maybe. I'm not really quite sure. Okay. All right. So I know that you're lazy and you just want to know what's the best of the blind right off the bat.
Kings, what?
Kings, kings, kings. All right. So
is it royalty?
We'll do just that. We're actually going to work our way to the top five. I would really encourage you to listen to all of the top five, as there really was not a clear-cut winner. The variances of even these top fives were actually quite subtle. It was not fully unanimous. I almost thought that we could not rank them and must declare that all of these were actually in the top five. Thought about that approach, but I thought...
Poppycock.
That's a horrible idea.
There's what? There's no winner?
This isn't un-American. America.
Yeah, you know? Kings. Anyway.
No participation trophies are here.
We also tried to get some production techniques, actually information from the distillers directly, and some secret research to figure out, you know, that out. And I'm sorry, but they don't have that info across the board.
They said no.
We're going to make some good guesses. Proprietary. You know, some distillers consider that actually a competitive advantage, you know.
It's
for what?
They said no.
A competition to the bottom, maybe, but anyway. I'm going to actually declare that Nelson Greenbrier has the process as the gold standard, okay? So they took a used whiskey barrel. They actually dumped raw honey into that empty whiskey barrel. Then they emptied the honey and sold it under the Truby label. So yummy. I love that honey. They actually rinsed the barrel out after they dumped the honey out. And then they filled the seasoned barrel with whiskey. So there's actually a lot more to it than that, but that's basically the technique, you know, that I'm going to declare as the gold standard.
There are good reasons for that. And
A lot of it is reconstituting the barrel.
Tell us more, Carrie.
Well, I don't get to because Mike's going to keep talking.
No,
here's what. I have actually spoken with distillers about how they do this.
Yes.
Called it.
And also amateurs.
For
I've spoken with distillers.
Well, we're all well represented here.
And amateurs. And I would say that most of the distillers that I've spoken to about this process also fall into the amateur category because everybody is just trying to figure out. So here's the thing about honey. No, it's not a burn. It's just like a really difficult thing. The thing about honey, super hydrostatic. You could put honey on one side of the table and water on the other, and the water is going to like come across the table.
Agoraphobic is the actual term.
Gravitational pull.
So that is the absence of water. Go ahead.
Honey is going to suck the life out of a barrel. So it's really difficult to fill a barrel with honey and not have it really like tear the barrel apart.
Sure. Right?
I'm trying to read what Mike wrote here.
Oh, hypertonic, hypotonic. So,
all the things.
Chemistry in high school all over again.
It is.
Who knew it would come in handy? No, absolutely.
This is a really different thing from any other way that they finish barrels because honey just really is not about it and it's trying to fight against you the whole time. So there's so much leakage. There's so much stuff going on. So the way that people have tried to figure it out and then so that's why they don't tell people because they don't want to know that like we figured out this way. I know that as part of a group that has made one of these barrels, we've sort of kind of figured it out. But we had, you know, our missteps along the way as well. So,
sip once, ignore the advice, and then execute.
Lordy.
We didn't dump whiskey on the floor.
That's basically the process.
So honey's going to suck all the moisture out of the barrel, and then you dump the honey out, and then you do want to rinse that honey out, because when you put whiskey in, it's just going to leak like a sieve, and then you're going to lose all your whiskey, and it's not going to taste like the honey warm water or anything rinse. Else. Yeah, or warm whiskey rinse, depending on the maker.
But the whole point of the thing is you want to have a balance between the bourbon and the honey.
Yes. And that is also tricky to accomplish.
Difficult.
And it is. Some of these guys do it. Some of these guys don't.
Right.
And leaving the honey in the barrel too long makes a really tannic situation. It's just a lot. So I think this is a pretty new category. Velmead has done a really good job at like really pioneering this category, and everybody's trying to figure it out, but it took a long time for them to figure it out. So we're all figuring it out. Anyhow, all this stuff we tasted, so you can't like ignore that there was a bunch of different whiskeys going into these barrels that had honey in them. So anywhere from a 4-year-old bourbon to a 12-year-old bourbon and an 8-year-old rye. So there's a lot of different base liquids going in to get finished. And some of them are great and some of them aren't.
Exactly.
And that's why we're here.
Most of them aren't.
So Joanna was going to talk about the production choices real quick.
So we're going to do Davison and Braver, actually two different batches, Nashville Bear Company, one batch, Nulu, Wheeler's Raid, Wild Turkey American Honey, Starlight, Smooth Ambler, WH Nashville, Jack Daniel's Honey.
I think your strategy may have backfired a little bit.
Good Times, King's Family Estate, Ryconic, and Velmead Honey Cask.
Literally flip the script.
Hey, we'll talk about these changes, and we'll talk about all these products after we come back here from the break. So,
do we need to do a redo?
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. This is your host of this episode, good old boy Mike. And we're going through an episode talking about a blind tasting of honey cask finish whiskey.
I fell blind after it.
And I love the fact that Joanna actually got lost in her script. So
I did.
Yeah, a little bit. So
it's great.
The one production choice that seems to have a marked difference in these products is how and when the honey is actually introduced into the whiskey itself. So some of these flavored are actually in a post-aging condition. So some of these honeys have actually been blended with the whiskey at various stages.
And these choices do impact the flavor.
And the thing they that do. I love is that Kieran and I are actually, we're sitting across from each other. And I love the fact that, so she and I have actually seen this process in production at different points in time and with different versions and different distillers. And so I really love, you know, because it was really interesting, and I was actually watching all this frustration that was actually washing over the distilling team at Nelson Greenbrier with the first batch.
As it was washing all over the floor.
It was
floor.
Just flowing all over the place. So,
alcohol juice.
Barger, you're going to tell us what happens with all of these choices.
Well, as we know, all these choices impact the flavor.
As we know.
But also production time, which translates to cost as well. Some of these products are flavored in minutes as opposed to aging for honey about 6 months. So, and then the whiskey is seasoned in the barrel another 6 months. Huge difference is the cost, time, and effort. So back to our number one on this honey cask blend.
So out of these products that we've gone through here. I'm just going to, we've mentioned it a couple of times. Can you guess what it is?
Queens?
Kings. You may not know this label, Kings Family Estate. So it is
not Kings County.
Not Kings County. That
but
is
we
correct.
Love them. Yep. I know. We do love them.
So Kings Family Estate is a independent bottler that is based out of East Tennessee. They are primarily using MGP based products for many of the things they've put together.
The whiskey things, yes.
The product that they use specifically was actually one of the only ryes or one of the few ryes in this lineup, which is Ryconic. And it is actually one of my favorite, you know, products in their entire lineup for the Kings Family Estate. And it is a wonderful blend of rye. It is actually not a single barrel, although I suspect that they probably produced this version of the honey version in a small batch.
Yeah.
I'm probably guessing like 3 or 4 barrels. What do you guys carry in?
Well, I've been over there and seen how they do this. They are working out of a tiny facility, so they are trying to make the most of every square foot and
doing a small batch.
But yeah, I think, I mean, obviously we've said this, it's all blind, but this is a product I rated number 1 out of the 12.
So let's hear your tasting notes specifically around the King's Reserve that you wrote down in the middle of the blind.
So I took a little different approach to this because it was all honey finished. So I had in the categories that I was rating it, like honey on the nose, honey on the palate, and then overall palate and finish and the normal things I would do. So I just thought that the honey was so consistent through the entire piece of it, which in a lot of these it was missing somewhere, or it was
I agree it
would fall off, or it would come
out
on
of
late
balance somehow,
or it smelled it but didn't taste
and,
it
and for this one it just really was a nice, like, it was present on the nose and it took you from the front to the mid to the finish. It was just like it was there all the time. It was never overwhelming the whiskey, and it was really nicely balanced and beautiful.
See, I had put that it was, you know, the smell, it, the overall aroma of it smelled good, and it was blended. It was blended really well, the honey with the rye smell aroma to it. And it at first it was a little bit harsh, but it decently finished out smoothly, and it just had a really good finish to it.
Now, it's interesting listening to this because, you know, how you judge something in a blind, you know, what, how you approach things, Carrie Ann talking about, was the honey there on the front, in the middle, at the end? You know, I tried to taste mine, you know, yes, was the honey there, but also, like, would I just drink this as a bourbon first? Like, is the whiskey solid? Yeah, so
that's good.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Tasting the Kings, you know, first thing I got is like turpentine and baking spices on the nose.
Wow.
Which then went into an exquisitely balanced palate. The sweetness really popped. The
balanced
honey
turpentine. Well, go ahead, write that down.
We're blowing it up here.
On the nose. I mean, come on. I don't know. What proof was this? You smell anything?
Well,
you know, it's
going to
smell hot.
Across the board, the nose of any of these were not like phenomenal. The honey does something to the nose that really mutes it.
It knocks it down.
And, yeah. I wouldn't say the nose on any of them got like the greatest rating.
But the finish on it was forever. And it was like warm cinnamon honey butter. Like, just
the starlight
just
smelled the best to me.
Thick, delicious.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Juliana. Weird. It's weird because I did not rate this as my number one.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's fine. I didn't either.
What'd you think when you tasted it?
Yeah.
It was okay. I know. Like,
was the honey there?
The honey was there, but it wasn't my be-all, end-all.
Fair. Were you rating on honey first or more whiskey?
Okay, so when I thought about this whole thing, and I thought about whiskey that had a honey cast to it, I didn't think this was the number one.
Huh. Fair.
I know.
So, there were...
where was it in your rating?
This was number three.
Yeah, well, so it was still in the top five. Yeah.
Still in your top five.
This is not, but this was my number one.
Yeah. But out of 12, I mean, your top three is great.
I had it in the top five. And I like the way that Carrie Ann is describing this, because I think that I think to walk into this and say, what were you looking for? And I think, and I'm enjoying the conversation about the unencumbered, you know, instructions that each of you had around each of this, which was none of
our
you.
Our leadership is great.
I didn't step in and say,
it
you know,
like,
well,
you're here's a bag of liquor, do this, drink
this. You're
tasting
this for the whiskey, or you're tasting this for the honey, or you're trying to find out who had the best, you know, production technique. None of that. All you were doing is you just had a glass and a bottle and you were trying to figure out.
Well, I love that you did the video on it, because I was like, when I approach it,
there was
for
a video?
Any blind tasting, I am going to taste. I'm going to evaluate it for its nose, for the palate, for the finish. There's like things I'm going to evaluate across the board. For this one, I'm like, do I have honey on the nose? Do I have honey on the palate? But still also evaluating it separately. I wanted to know how that honey was integrated, and was it in a for better or for worse situation.
Did you compare across the flight? Because one of the things I did was I looked back and I was like, did this stand out compared to the ones that were the same to me?
I think that I was just...
I revisited.
So I really appreciate those of you that, you know... So I did produce a very small series of videos as I was going through this blind. If you'd like to know, you know, a process of going through a blind tasting, great. This is the process I use. It's not the only one on the planet by any means at all.
It's not the Barger method.
But the... Yeah, there were no blunts involved. So but I think that I was really... So I will confess that I was looking for balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, in the overall.
So I was looking
and
forward
not
to
it. Necessarily. And I was really looking to say, you know, at the end of the day, were you actually honoring the use of the honey?
That's
that, you know, that you were doing at the
or the
day.
Use of the whiskey.
That's what I thought.
So that's what I would use one word for to say integration. And
so you could, you know, one of the things we have on the beer shows is, you know, especially for barrel aged beers, is it more barrel than beer or beer than barrel?
Yeah.
And it's always that sense of balance between them. And I think that that is exactly what you're really going for in any finished cask product itself. And you know, for me, here with the King's Reserve, some of my own tasting notes, I actually wrote down woody, kind of sweet honey. I actually had there was a touch of cinnamon that was over the mid palate, and it had a woody, you know, kind of medium finish to it. So it really, it had a very good overall, you know, presentation. This was not my number one pick, but I felt that it definitely is right where we put it, which is in the top three, and it overall is our number one pick. Is the King's Family Estate. What's your rating on this, guys? All right, I'm going to go for it. It's going to be a 4.
5.5.
You know, between all of those is a Sips rating of 4. And actually, this was my choice of the next barrel that we were actually going to do at Whiskey House Nashville was with a rye.
Love it.
Oh, is that what WH means?
And so I am just so, I love the fact that somebody has beaten me to the punch. They've done this with a really good MGP, you know, batch. And so I really think that is the magic combination to have something that is a little bit spicy, a little bit hot, and a little bit sweet. I really
see
think
the
that
rye
is,
really brings out the sweetness of the honey.
Yeah,
it's more balanced.
I really do love it.
It's absolutely balanced, and I think, you know, when you're talking about what I look for, I didn't watch your videos. Sorry,
that's okay.
I'm a little small short with emails
next week.
So yeah, I'll catch it next time. But
most expendable crew member.
Yeah, I know, right? But I went in.
Love your red shirt, man.
I literally went in and was like, what makes me think of honey when I smell it and when I drink it?
Okay.
Like, what is the best representation of honey? And also,
so you were looking for honey first.
I was looking for honey first.
I'm looking for honey.
But right, we'll talk later. It's fine.
It was close.
Yeah, it was just you know, I really wanted it to represent it well.
Well, it's also along here to our number two pick was actually from Starlight. So if you are not familiar with this distillery, they're fairly new to
the Huber family.
Huber family is
fairly kind of been around forever.
They've been around as Huber
they might
for
have
a long
grown
time.
Some apples
Starlight
once and
The Starlight brand has only been around for about 4 years now, and they have done They've done a very good job of actually creating their own distillate. And
is this their own distillate that we tasted?
It yes. is their own distillate that we've tasted in this rendition. And, you know, I have probably had, I don't know, probably 50, 60 different barrels of Starlight, you know, and it's...
I had 50 or 60 that one day I went up to visit
them. I mean, it's very typical of any single barrel tasting. I mean, you're going to have some that are great. You're going to have some that are, you know, not so great. You're going to have a lot of things that are in the middle. I mean, this, and that really doesn't matter, you know, specifically, you know, where you wind up. But what'd you guys think of the Starlight?
So I'm just now matching the samples where to my are. Notes. No, so I didn't know until just now what we're tasting. So I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I was like, it's greatly balanced with the honey and the
whiskey. Actually wrote that word down, good balance.
I finished with balance, yeah. Exclamation point, underline.
I had yeah. a but
I can't spell balance.
It has some green notes, but I think it worked with the honey. The green notes worked with the honey. So I really still liked it, but I could still taste that it was young whiskey.
I think that's really interesting. You know, kind of got me as saying, you know, it was a little bit on the young side. So, Juliana, what'd you think of this?
I loved it. This was my number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
As it was for a lot of people.
No, it's great.
You know, it was good.
I went,
it's in my top five.
I went, so my notes were like, it smells good, it tastes good, but meh.
I would say the
it just didn't finish well.
And I like the greenness of it.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the Starlight products that I've actually enjoyed are the sherry finish products from Starlight.
That's fair.
They've actually been quite good.
Yeah.
I would say that a lot of the Starlight products that are currently available on the market have been a bit corn forward.
Yeah.
It's a component of time.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think they're on the right path? Do I think those are going to be amazing
absolutely.
Products?
Yeah.
You know, when they hit
they're
like
doing
that
great stuff.
Absolutely.
8 and 10 year, you know, period, they're just going to be really, really
and
amazing.
They're throwing every noodle at the wall. Yeah. I love that they're trying everything, and some of their finishes are like rocking the house, and some of them are like, meh.
Yeah, I like that they're
but
trying
they're
too.
They're working on it, and they're just like, see what works. And I think Christian and those guys are doing a great job.
I'd say they're highly underrated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So, keep it that way.
I've had a lot of their stuff and I've not really been a fan. This was an outlier for me.
And
I looked back at my rating on this and I was like, really?
I know.
This is them?
I'm telling you, I had the exact same reaction, Drew, because, you know, outside of those PX Sherry finished, you know, cask, I'm like, okay, I'm just, you know, I'm a fan, but I'm like in the fan, you know, in the on deck circle. I can see where they're going. I want to give it another 3 years, you know, to be there. I think there are a lot of people that are kind of pouring, you know, a lot of energy and money and cash, you know, into them right now. I think that's great. That's fantastic for them. But at the end of the day, when I look at the everything that's on the shelf, I'm like, there's just some other choices that are
price
there.
To value.
So
I mean, I've been up there. I've tasted a lot of barrels of all kinds of finishes. And I think, you know, some of them maybe just weren't ready yet. And some of them would, you know, be better if the whiskey was a little older before they went into the finish. But what they're doing, I think, is sustainable. And I can't wait to see what comes in the next 5 years.
I'm a price point nerd on that one. Like, I think their price point per quality is just not there for me yet.
Well, but I'm a fan, and I'm there with them.
Starlight, Star Bright.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's pick out your rating here for Starlight. Hey, it is across the board, which is a SIPs rating of 4. So, well done. And
yeah,
I think
good
that's
job, guys.
Great. That, I absolutely want to declare that both their sherry finished and that honey cask finished are absolutely the stars.
They're beautiful. Yeah,
if you can find them, get them
right now.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you could find them, get them. But don't hoard them. Save some for everyone else.
Can I take the third one?
Exactly.
As the outlier.
Take it.
Or hoard them.
Well, so very interesting. The number 3 in our overall top 5 is actually going to be the Belle Meade.
Yeah.
And, so the question is, I don't know which Belle Meade. So
I believe it was the 19.
There's questions. We have to know which Belle Meade.
There are.
Yeah. I don't know things about this Belle Meade.
I remember when this episode was being sourced products-wise. I want to say this was the 19.
I I don't believe it was. I think it was 20.
I've looked at the label several times. So I know some things it is not. It is not from the first year. It is not from the second year.
Well, we're both wrong.
It may be from the third year, and there were multiple versions of the third year. So,
oh my God.
Thing is with the Belmead Reserve, there have been 12 barrels, 12 to 13 barrels, that have actually been finished in honey cask. There are some of those barrels that have, one, they've never exited Tennessee. They absolutely did not even move across state lines at all. There's
barely left the town.
There's actually one barrel that actually went to Constellation that did the opposite, that went to every place outside of Tennessee and never came into Tennessee.
But not in Tennessee.
Constellation.
Yeah. So Constellation does own Nelson Green Bar now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I think, one of the difficult parts about our discussion here is that this product is sunset. There will not be a 13th barrel of Belmead, reserve.
Is this official?
True.
It is. And so I had hoped that in this tasting, we were going to actually introduce their new product, which is actually going to be.
I have side notes on that.
Is going to be Nelson Brothers, that is going to be finished off in a honey cask finish, is going to be the follow-on product to this. Very, very different base whiskey.
Will there be Krispy Kremes in a line at 7 a.m.?
So, I did reach out to Charlie and Andy and ask them numerous times, did not give up until yesterday.
Yeah.
And
what, you gave up?
It's just not ready.
So what's happening right now is they have ability to bottle it. They don't know exactly when they're going to. And so they didn't know when we might air. And anyway,
that's okay.
So the new stuff we didn't get to put into this blind, but I'm sure we'll find another opportunity to talk about it. And those guys are, really just pushing the envelope on this. Like, nobody was doing this before they did it.
They started it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what I find interesting is that you do not see a line of 1,000-plus people in front of any of these other distilleries.
You don't see a line of 1,000-plus people in Nashville for pretty much anything, let's be honest.
7 days after a tornado ripped through our city.
Yeah, it was gnarly. That line was so long.
Yeah. So I think it's really amazing. We'll talk about this more right after this break.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today, we're actually talking about the honey cask finish blind tasting that we've gone through. I'm your host here, good old boy Mike, and we're just talking about the Belmead Reserve honey cask finish product. This is kind of like, a bit of the standard, in this particular
standard
line.
But also crazy unicorn.
Very much so.
It is.
Yeah, and So it's interesting, Carrie Ann and I have like all these points of contact with both Andy and Charlie Nelson, and at different times. Sometimes we've been staying there together. Sometimes we've, caught them at different times. And the thing is that I can't remember who asked me the question, which is, why did they even decide to do this to begin with? And part of it was they were going through a wide range of secondary cast finishes. They were actively pursuing going after doing it with sherry to begin with,
which was actually the
very
casks.
First product that they did in a cask finish with. And all of this was using MGP source products.
Mm-hmm.
The second one they did is, I believe it was cognac, and they did it in a couple of different versions. They did it with straight up cognac in the XO as well. And then it all depends on what part of the conversation you kind of pick up at that point. But I really think it was their barrel broker was the one that kind of talked them into going down the series of actually looking at a broad range of products that had never been utilized. And I think that the discussion about coming up and seasoning a honey cask was something actually born out of that conversation of going, well, how many secondary finishes actually can we do? And they were going through a broad range of mostly wine-based and but other spirit-based barrels.
Also, you're talking about like what barrels are available to us that have had something else in them. And then now this door opens up to we can make our own secondary cask. So I think it's just a different world that they entered. And now, I mean, for good reason, everybody jumped on board.
And I think that has been one of the distinguishing components when I look at the probably the most perspective production process.
I mean, unless you count Tabasco finish.
Tabasco barrel finish?
I think that, you know, there are some folks here that chose a very different production process. Yeah. They chose not to season a barrel. They chose not to go that extra 9 months, you know, to actually go through, you know, the process of creating their own seasoned barrels.
I wonder which ones use extract as well.
Well, and I think that...
I think it's pretty apparent.
Those are the people that are actually at the bottom of the list here. So do I think that...
What about honeycomb?
And at the bottom of the list was actually with Wild Turkey and with Jack. And I think
Which
don't count because I do believe that is a flavored whiskey process.
Yeah, it is.
Really tried hard to actually confirm that was the case. But I don't have anybody that's stepping up and saying, absolutely, we're creating our own seasoned barrel.
We got to call Goose. Well,
so the difference is what it says on the front of the label. It's not whiskey finished in honey cask.
Exactly.
It is flavored whiskey. And both Wild Turkey and Jack Daniel's honey, they carry that label of flavored whiskey.
And flavored whiskey is not a regulated term, correct? Uh-huh.
It is regulated, but it's...
And so that's what I like about...
That there's more to it than we put it in a cask that had something else in it.
So that's what I really love about what this blind tasting has done is it has absolutely set the bar of saying, I don't really care what your production process is. I just want to know that if you're tasting something in the glass, is it better or worse? And I think that this is actually, to me, my answer is that I think that it has flushed that out to say, at the end of the day, if you go the extract route and flavor up the whiskey on the back end, you're losing it, man.
That's right.
You're going to lose the complexity.
Wild Turkey honey and Jack Daniel's honey have followings that are...
And they're not the same drinkers that are drinking any of this. They're the people who mix it.
Those are solid products. They're doing their own thing with them, but they're not the same as this category.
You're talking about what Aunt Martha likes?
Yeah.
That's what I buy her every Friday. I get her a fifth of American honey, man.
I thought you threw these in here to... with us compare.
I did too.
Because they were very obvious, like from the nose on. They were very, very different situations.
Even at that though, I think it's wise to put them in the category because you now know what not to do, what you don't want.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not what not to do.
Or what you're missing.
It's two different drinkers.
And there's a flavored product.
It's all not the same thing. To me, it's all about the base product. Like, if your base product is not good, the end result's not going to be. And I'm not saying those products aren't good, because those products are, you know, we all know Wild Turkey's great.
You can't compare them.
I'm going to agree with Carrie Ann on this one, because at the end of the day, it's about what somebody wants to
just get out.
Exactly.
It's what the buyer is drinking, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like the Wild Turkey or the Jack Daniel's honey, but they sell a lot of it because a lot of people
do. Wild Turkey and Jack Daniel's honey have their place. And if I want a hot toddy, I am putting some Wild Turkey or some Jack Daniel's honey in it if I have a little situation. So No, they're different. They're different.
Down. Gary Ed has a little situation.
If I have a little situation that Jack starts Daniels, with honey. Co and ends with vid, then I want a little hot toddy, and it's going to have what one of those honey products.
So
on
let's specifically talk about this Belle Meade. What are your tasting notes around this? And so we can understand why it actually hit the top five here. So
this was actually
the whiskey's great.
Yeah, this was actually the number one first one I drank. And I went, it was very honey forward. And it was a good burn, and it was light and airy, and the finish was just crisp, like, you know, it's like funny. You want it to be.
I have in my notes that the honey is front-loaded. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of honey on the front.
I said it peaked quickly.
It's interesting.
Heard that about you.
I was shocked at my own. So I actually wrote down faint, 15-year
wedding anniversary coming up soon, bro.
I wrote down good balance, love the long finish, and I actually wrote down the word not complex. So, which is very unusual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Juliana, what do you think?
I had a lot of molasses on this.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. Yes.
I get that.
Not honey, okay. But molasses.
So, yeah. No, full-blown burnt
a
sugar.
A lot of molasses.
Yeah.
So, this wasn't like top tier, but it was close.
Yeah.
Well, ranked it as your number two, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It was number two.
I ranked it as my number three. I thought it was great balance and everything, but the honey was all on the front, and then it just kind of went, okay.
We'll see your ratings here for the Belle Meade Reserve. So, wow. Looks like it's across the board again.
I will say, as the outlier who ranked this as 8th out of 12.
Oops. Mm. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it's the comparison. It was one out of 12 for me.
It was the comparison. There were other rye forward whiskeys that I thought were more balanced.
Fine.
Because I looked at them together. Yeah. That was.
Let's move on to the next thing here in the top five, which is Nashville Barrel Company. If you're not quite familiar with this product, they're actually an expanding brand that has moved into a lot of states. They are using all products that have been sourced through MGP in Indiana, once again.
MGP, what up?
And actually, this is a bourbon, which is an interesting choice because they actually work with both bourbon and rye, but they work primarily with a lot of rye.
Yeah, they're rye heavy.
And so these are good friends. I mean, we definitely know, you know, the folks that are behind this brand, you know, intimately. And it was really interesting. So I actually, you know, talked with, you know, James a bit about their production technique, a little different than they chose at Belle Meade, a little bit of an accelerated process.
Did they heat it up?
No, not quite.
This is a complicated process, and trying to work it out is difficult. So,
it's hard.
I mean, any way that people are trying to do it, I'm here for it.
Yeah. So, you know, this is batch one. We've had some of the other batches, which I think are actually better than batch one overall. But here in the blind itself, some of my tasting notes here for NBC were, again, almost identical to some of the things that I wrote about Belle Meade. Faint wood, fairly balanced kind of wood. There's actually a hint of cinnamon in the mid palate. I actually wrote down the word diluted honey. So
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was boozy.
This was my favorite nose. You know, Carrie Ann's point about they didn't have good noses. I thought this one actually had a very pleasant nose. It was rock candy, molasses. And then I had, you know, what I called buttered biscuits, which is common. But then it got almost cloyingly sweet. It finished oaky. They say the oak eventually went one out over the cloying honey sweetness, but I don't know. It was interesting. I'll have to try it again.
This landed flat in the middle for me. It was a good example. It wasn't a great example. I thought the honey was there and it all kind of fell off. I didn't love the finish, but it wasn't.
It felt like a freshman attempt.
See, it did. But
which it was.
Okay.
I put it in my number four, though, because I thought it was, you know, it was bold, but yet it still had a honey flavor to it and it wasn't over the top.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they didn't focus so much on the honey as they did the bourbon. And, you know, like I said earlier, the base product was a good product. So when you have a good base product, you're going to have a good product.
Good place to start.
Yeah. Sure. And I love the tobacco on it.
Yeah?
You love the tobacco on this?
That's
the bourbon.
I know. But I really enjoy the tobacco combined with the honey on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gives it a little more complexity. I get that. I can see.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Do we know how old that that whiskey was?
Probably a 4 or 5 year.
I'm going to say it was five year bourbon that they use for that. So, anyway, what's your rating here for the NBC finish here? So we're going to go with a 3 for this.
Interesting.
Overall, we have time to talk about our fifth choice here very briefly, which is from this is Davidson Reserve, and this particular version is the Tennessee whiskey version, which I know that Carrie Ann has worked quite a bit with Pennington. And
I'm so excited that we have two Tennessee products.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Right? So three, actually.
Actually, both of these did very well. Yeah. So both, there were two, there was a bourbon and a Tennessee whiskey in here, and actually both of them did quite well.
Yeah.
In but the Tennessee overall. Whiskey was
just a little bit better than the reserve. Or I'm sorry, than the bourbon. I like the bourbon better than the Tennessee whiskey. So the Tennessee whiskey actually is a bit younger. Am I right with that, Carrie-Anne?
I think so.
I think that's probably the case, by maybe 1 or 2 years most.
No, they don't put anything out.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to put anything out that young. Oh. So what did you guys write about the Tennessee whiskey from Davidson?
Least in your face, honey, that there was.
Interesting.
It was the there, but it was well on, incorporated.
Like, the back it was palette. Interesting. It was there throughout the thing, but it really hit you in the finish, the very back palate and the finish. Mm-hmm. And the finish just went on for me.
Yeah.
I thought that the finish was fantastic.
I actually wrote down deep, complex age. I actually wrote down that it was kind of corn forward, but it was masked with the honey really quite well. And it had kind of a medium finish to it. So this was actually in the middle of, you know, my ranking overall. But I thought that it was a, you know, an excellent approach. And
Lincoln County process.
See, I'm an outlier on this one. I put it was very charcoal forward, and it was subtle honey.
See, I did write down the heavy char.
Yeah, I agree with you there. The charcoal on it was all I could taste on the finish.
Mm. Well, let's rate up here the Davidson Tennessee whiskey version that you have here. I am going to go with 3 on this.
Interesting.
Sips rating of 3 for the Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey Edition. I want to, cover some time, kind of what's some things that were here at the bottom. So we kind of, you know, briefly touched on a couple of that were at the bottom, which was Jack Daniels as well as the Wild Turkey product here. And I think we both agree that, you know, some of the key things that were missing there. It just
whiskey.
They were just not. I mean, what were some of your tasting notes?
They're not finished whiskeys, and they were very apparently artificially flavored. Like they were flavored whiskeys.
So I wrote down with Wild Turkey. I wrote down pure sugar, no alcohol, icky. I think that Barger's tasting notes were no.
That's exactly. It's just 7 no's. No.
I have a sad face and flavored, and I have.
Juliana, what were some of your tasting notes on Wild Turkey other than
it
icky?
It was like Drambuie.
Drambuie.
Sweet.
It was so sweet.
I agree. Yeah. It was just like, you know, a sugar cane all the way.
Exactly.
Is this whiskey?
That's what I thought about Jack Daniels and Wild Turkey.
But I can tell you when I found out what we were drinking, I was pleased because those notes that I was like, this is artificial. This is really saccharine. Like there's all this. If they were doing a finished barrel, this is cheating.
Yep.
So I was glad to know that.
Can we establish our rating here for the Wild Turkey?
I don't think they should be rated in this category.
I can't give it an actual number.
It's not in the same. No.
So, for sure.
This is apples and oranges.
So let's move up just a little bit beyond that. So actually at the bottom of, you know, all of the rankings was actually the pick from Nulu.
Which is MGP, which
was,
isn't
remember,
it?
Remember, it was MGP, and so there are a lot of fans
of Nulu.
All
these are MGP.
Well, right, but we have an MGP that's at the bottom and an MGP that's at the top.
Yeah, so what happened?
So it's not the whiskey. Nulu,
it's not just the whiskey.
It's what they did.
Interesting.
So what are some of your tasting notes around Nulu that, you know, actually brought you to, you know, kind of move that, you know, along?
I put it was very honey forward.
Actually,
it was.
Acetone.
It was very funny.
I actually have the word faint kerosene written down.
Acetone and marzipan.
Yeah, I put honey forward, and then in parentheses, I put nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there was something not right.
It wasn't balanced.
I don't know if that was a combination of the whiskey that they chose or the production technique, but it was not working across the board. I do not write down the word faint.
So when I smell what I smelled, I didn't taste it, to be honest.
Let's wrap this up real quick. Like, so for Nulu, I'm also going to say it's a one. So here we go. Did you guys like this process overall? I love this blonde. I had a good time. I really did.
I think probably if anybody was going to try this at home, that they should definitely set out from the beginning, like, what's most important? Is the bourbon most important? Is the honey most important? Settle on what you're going to decide before you do it.
Exactly. Integration. How does the honey enhance the whiskey?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I really, I thought this was a great exercise. I'm so glad we got to go through this, you know, together. Such great palates, you know, that all of you brought to the table. Best. And, you know, the discussion today, it was really fantastic. So I want to thank each one of you. So, good old gal Juliana, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Wow, I'm still here.
Oh, I know.
Good old gal Carrie Ann, thank you for joining us for this episode.
Thank you. This was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Good old boy Barger.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The expendable crew member. Good old boy Drew.
It was a great talk. Thanks.
Hey, this is good old boy Mike asking you to come back, enjoy another riveting episode of Simpsons and Smokes, maybe with or without Barger. And I'll put
my red shirt up.
To keep on sipping for sure. One honey, two honeys.
Kings.
Kings, baby.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.